The only thing we have is fear itself.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It doesn't seem to matter what the Federal Reserve does, or the Treasury Department, or Santa Claus. The stock markets have almost zero confidence in the financial sector right now. The plan to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if need be, got a tiny nod from investors, and that's about it. In Asia today, stocks got hammered. In Japan, the Nikkei fell 2%. Hong Kong, 4%. Taiwan, 4.5%. Bank shares lost a lot of value. The Dow lost 0.5% yesterday, 45 points, to close at 11,055. The NASDAQ dropped 26 points, more than 1%, to 2212. And the S&P 500 was down 1%. That's 11 points to 1228. The investment bank Merrill Lynch reports second quarter profits this week, and more bank reports will be rolling in. It's okay if you want to wince. Amy Scott tells us what banks might do to turn things around.
Banks struggling to absorb subprime mortgage losses have several options. They can raise money from shareholders by selling stock. That's getting harder to do as bank shares tumble. They can also sell assets. Analysts say Merrill Lynch may unload some or all of its stakes in media company Bloomberg LP and asset manager BlackRock. Last week, Citigroup announced the sale of its German consumer banking unit. John Fisher with Fifth Third Asset Management expects to see other banks slim down too.
The list of financial institutions that need to raise capital is very, very long.
Analyst Dick Beauvais with Ladenburg Thalmann doesn't expect a big fire sale. He says if you don't count the loan losses, the banking industry is in pretty good health.
At some point, the loan losses will start to come down, and then the earnings will be explosive for these companies.
We're not there yet, Beauvais says. As big banks start reporting their second quarter earnings this week, he's expecting some dismal results. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Later this morning, General Motors will reveal its newest plans for the future. They are almost sure to include cutting several thousand salaried jobs and trimming back even more on truck production. David Cole directs the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I think you'll see announcements that relate to this idea of being able to be nimble and flexible and adjust as the circumstances change. It's still a very tough thing for a large organization to deal with, but you have to give it a good shot, and I think we're going to hear about that.
GM investors want to hear something. Shares just hit a 50-year low. What else can we attribute to global warming? Kidney stones? Unfortunately, I'm not joking. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio on a new study.
The study found that about 30% more of us will get kidney stones because of climate change. Lead author Dr. Thomas Burkowski at the University of Texas at Dallas explains the correlation.
We know from the distribution of kidney stones within the U.S. that higher temperatures encourage stone formation.
Higher heat can cause dehydration, a major factor in kidney stones. The authors estimate that the annual cost to treat these new kidney stone cases will reach $1 billion by 2050.
Well, it's cost of hospitalization, it's cost of surgery, it's cost of physician, you know, office visits, it's cost of emergency room visits. All of those things are taken into account.
That study co-author, Dr. Margaret Sue Pearl at the UT Southwestern Medical Center. Big Sunbelt states like Texas, Florida, and California will likely see the highest increases. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat. Available now.
Tonight, Yankee Stadium hosts its final All-Star game. At the end of the season, the house that Ruth built will be demolished after 85 years. A new ballpark is going up across the street at a cost of more than $1 billion. Of course, New Yorkers are at odds about what that means. Sally Herships reports from the Bronx.
Just like the rest of New York, Bronx residents love the Yankees, but they're not so hot on the team's new stadium. They say the $1.3 billion project, partially financed with tax-free bonds, is too expensive. But Bronx Borough President Aldolfo Carrion says it will be well worth it.
This project will benefit the host community. It will benefit local businesses. It used to be that people would come and they'd zip into the stadium and they'd scoot back to their vehicles and leave. That will change.
There'll be restaurants, a museum, and eventually even a shopping mall. With all these new attractions, Carrion says visitors will have more chances to spend time and money. The streets outside Yankee Stadium are hot this time of year. Bail bond and law offices share the sidewalk with fast food restaurants, bodegas, and bars. In the Alta Vega Sports Bar, Alicia Rojas chats up some of her customers. She likes Carrion's plan.
There's potential for more shops, and with more shops, more business, and with more business, more people. More business, more people, more money.
A few blocks down the street, Amin Pichardo watches his store. He sells cell phones, CDs, and video games. He's not so optimistic.
It's going to be the same. It's not that they're bringing a new stadium to the area. The stadium is already in the area.
Pichardo says his customers are residents, not Yankee fans. And he worries if the neighborhood gentrifies, his rates will go up. Nicole Marwell of Columbia University specializes in New York City development. She says that local residents are meant to benefit from the plan, but they're not.
Who is actually getting the jobs? How many of those jobs are actually going to people who live in the poorest congressional district in the country in which the stadium is located? You know, the tax coffers of the city and the state and even the federal government are really not coming out ahead on this project.
The Yankees have pledged to give $800,000 a year to local nonprofits. But Marwell says these agreements, like the entire stadium deal, are characterized by a lack of transparency. In the Bronx, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.